and welcome. It's our number one, of our radio program repackaged in the podcast format. And a toss-up question to begin our number one with Kawhi Leonard down for the count. The Clippers still beat the Jazz. Is this the most embarrassing loss in Jazz history? And is it a or is it a legacy game for Playoff P, who had 37 points? We will answer that question, and I'm in a very good mood. I'm Benny Brightside. I'm in a good mood. We'll get to that and more. Here it is, our number one. On shaky ground, but not for long. Not for long. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we speak from the Iron Throne, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from inside your eardrums. We provide marginal sports talk radio all night long from the global headquarters of Fox Sports Radio, and here we are. So our lead this hour comes from the NBA. So if you're one of those people that hates pro bouncy ball talk, this is not for you. And we go to the Great Salt Lake, a game that was upstaged by the news that came out early in the morning, at least where I am. The news came out. The historians were very excited. People I work with were very excited. I'm not going to name names. Roberto, sending me messages. Very happy that the news that Kawhi Leonard, if you've not heard, maybe you've lived in a shoebox all day, but Kawhi Leonard, all NBA Kawhi, one of the great players of this generation, and he's out. He's out. Got a knee injury, and who knows if he will play again in the postseason. So from that point forward, the rest of the day was nonstop. Oh my God, the Clipper curse. They can't get out of their own way, blah, 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 blah. So they went out and played the game. And if you watched the game, you know that the Utah Jazz early on were insane to the membrane from 3-point range. It was out of control. But it was a close game. And by the end, Paul George, by George, put up 37 points, 16 rebounds, had 5 assists, and the Clippers left for dead. They were being fitted for a body bag. Come back and get the win in the pivotal game number 5 at the Great Salt Lake there. The Clippers win it 119 to 111, and so the Los Angeles Clippers are one win away from going to the NBA's Final Four if they can win the game on Friday night. So let us discuss. Now, toss-up question.
Wow.
Toss-up question. Was this the worst loss in Jazz history, or was it Playoff P's legacy game? And the answer is all of the above. Both these things can be true. This can be the worst game in Jazz history, and at the same time, a legacy moment for Paul George. Both these things are true. So my thoughts on this, you've got the Big Top, the Louvre, and free money. And we will combine all of these things together into an adequate Maller monologue. An adequate Maller monologue. So we begin with the Jazz. Better stories in the losing locker room. I like the Clippers. For me, it's in the Clipper locker room. But I realize as a talk show host, my morality I learned as a talk show host at Sports Radio Clown College is that the better stories in the Jazz locker room. There is no excuse. This is unforgivable. Now, I'm not someone that knows the detailed history of the Utah Jazz. Now, I've watched the Jazz a lot over the years, and I've had some tremendous players that have passed through Utah. Very talented players. Going back to John Stockton and Karl Malone and Thurl Bailey and Jeff Malone and those kind of guys back in the old days. But this is something that if the Jazz don't correct this, will haunt the players that were part of this performance. I'm talking about Donovan Mitchell, who took 19 shots. He only made 6 of them. That's on his resume. Rudy Gobert, Mr. Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert. This is on them. And you watch the early part of the game. The Utah Jazz were a video game cheat code. They were. They were a video game cheat code. In particular, Bojan Bogdanovic, at the start of the game, I was texting a buddy of mine who's also a Clipper lapdog, and we were going back and forth. I said, this is unbelievable. I mean, this is like this. I said this is like me when I played basketball. It's Moneyball Maller, but it's Moneyball Bogdanovic. The way he keeps hitting those shots, it's like he couldn't miss. It was like playing a video game, and it was a glitch on a video game. These were circus shots. All hell broke loose, and Bogdanovic kept knocking down shots. It's insane. And no, he's actually I wouldn't mind having him on a team I like. He's pretty good as a secondary type guy. But at some point, you figure he can't keep making those shots, and you glance down, and he kept making them for a while. But in the end, the Utah Jazz, you look at the first quarter of this game, and I'm telling you, the Jazz were like, we can't miss. We're amazing. They took 15 three-point shots and made 10 of them. They were making them from St. George, Utah, as far away as you can get, right, in the state of Utah from Salt Lake, and they were knocking down three-point shots. But 10 of 15, they shoot 66.7% in the first quarter, and they only have a one-point lead. And then as the game progressed and the Jazz played better than the Clippers, a little bit better in the second quarter, and you're like, well, the Jazz should be up by a lot. Right? This is the argument's always the same in games like this, that as we rack our brains and go back in the history, it's like the team that loses their star player, they come out and guys, next man up, do your job, all that. But as long as the team that didn't lose the star player continues to pour it on, at some point, the team that has lost the star player will choke, will fall apart, will be deflated, and that did not happen. The Clippers continued to counterpunch. They were snorting mad in this game. But it's really about the Jazz. I mean, that is just an inexcusable demerit for them. And if the Jazz do come back, and the series is not over without Kawhi Leonard, I don't think he'll play again in this series. Without Kawhi Leonard, it's far from over. But the Jazz in the second half shot 30%. 30%. And Donovan Mitchell took 14 shots in the second half. He made three of them. And Bojan Bogdanovic, the guy that was making the big top circus shots, he was 2 of 6 the rest of the game. Royce O'Neal was terrible. He sucked at a time you cannot suck. But for the Jazz to shoot 30% over the final 24 minutes of the game, and it just nutso. And then in the fourth quarter, the Jazz never had the lead. The Clippers led from pillar to post in the fourth quarter. Now, part two of this here, for Paul George, what this game was the mute button. It was the mute button because it was nonstop. I get it. He's a punching bag. People love to unload the Paul George, playoff P, pandemic P. You saw right there an example why he's an all-NBA player. And finally, Paul George listened to my advice. He treated these playoff games like it's a Wednesday night against Sacramento when no one's paying attention. That's the Paul George that plays on a Wednesday night against the Sacramento Kings when no one's watching. He's averaged over the last three games 33 points per game. 33 points per game for Paul George. And some guys, we mentioned this with Luka and the Mavericks in the first round where Luka would put up these huge stat totals, but he took almost the same number of shots as points. Paul George took 22 shots to get to 37 points. That's an efficient performance by Paul George. And all the trolls, I know, I saw your comments that I checked. I didn't check all day, but I checked when the game started. I was watching the Sixers game, and I had to take some shots at Doc Rivers, so I got on there when the Sixers choked away at 26 points. It's one of the great nights as a basketball fan. Doc Rivers, horrific in Philly. We'll get to that later. Clippers win without Kawhi. That's like a perfect night as a sports fan. I just had a perfect night as a sports fan. That was great. It was wonderful. But listen, Paul George, the trolls go crawling back, the cockroaches behind the fridge. behind the fridge. They'll come back out if the Clippers lose the next couple of games, and they'll be, I told you so, the team's cursed. Yeah, dummy. Now you're all dummies. But that was an oil painting, right? Send that game to the Louvre. Hanging on a wall at the Louvre is what you need to do. Now, for my money, right, this was as impressive as Kevin Durant's performance when you consider the fact the Clippers were on the road. Durant was at home in Brooklyn, creature comforts and all that. And I understand Paul George didn't play the entire game. He did play essentially 85, 90%, played 40 minutes of the 48, over 40 minutes of the 48 total in the game. And it wasn't just him. Listen, Marcus Morris had a big stretch. Reggie Jackson. Terrence Mann is the man. He owns the cojones of Rudy Gobert. And, boy, what an embarrassing couple of games for Rudy Gobert. The Clippers attacking Mr. All-Defensive Guy, three-time All-Defensive Player, and the Clippers attacking this Rudy Gobert.
And never heard of him.
They essentially have pantsed this guy, Gobert. What an embarrassment. Horrific performances here as the defensive stopper. And the Clippers are getting their way. But that Terrence Mann guy, he didn't shoot particularly well from the outside, but he was good. He was good. And the much maligned Luke Kennard made a couple of baskets that were of somewhat importance there. In this game. So for my money, without Kawhi on the road, that is what Paul George did, the equal to Kevin Durant's performance. You won't hear that because there's an anti-Clipper bias in the media, and of course the New York media machine slobbers all over all the New York teams, even the Nets. All right, last thing here. So the Clippers are up 3-2. By no means is this over, but the cool thing about this is as long as Kawhi Leonard is out, and to think the Jazz lost the game at home, Kawhi scored no points. My God. My God. But the Clippers up 3-2. Obviously, the game Friday becomes, that's it, right? You lose that game, you figure you're going to lose game 7 back in Utah. But the Clippers have figured something out. And I took some pot shots at Ty Lue, and I want to address that right now. I've been impressed. I'm a show me kind of guy. I have seen this. If Doc Rivers was coaching that Clipper team in Utah, they lose that game by 10 points. If Doc Rivers is coaching that team, they lose Kawhi in the morning. They come out there and they take a ride on a vomit comet. They're not even show up. But that didn't happen. I mean, that's a team that had some fight. Dogs, as we say. They're dogs. No cats. They're dogs. The Clippers. So I think some of that is good. I don't know. I want to give too much credit to Ty Lue because ultimately the players are the ones that did it. But it is encouraging to see. And the pressure, if you look at the pendulum of the pressure, which so many people like to focus on in these things, and we know these guys are all over social media, the pressure is obviously on Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. This was the top team in the NBA. This was a team that had a 2-0 lead over the Clippers. That the Jazz have now lost three straight games. And unlike the last two where the Clippers blew out the Jazz, in this last game, it was close. It was anyone's game. It was anyone's game going to the fourth quarter, right? Anyone's game. Yeah, I simply had to go out there and, it was a 9-point game. But the Jazz, within a minute of the first or the fourth quarter, rather, had closed the gap to like 3. So it was right there for the taking. All right. Now, Donovan Mitchell, we mentioned how bad Donovan Mitchell is. And, of course, he can't just say, I sucked at a time I cannot suck. Instead, Donovan Mitchell is going to tell you that he is not healthy. He's going to tell you that right now. And as Warner Wolf would say, let's go to the audio tape.
Sucks. I ain't got nothing else to say. Like, it's just it's tough when you're trying different things that you normally do and you see spots you can get to, but you can't. So you got to find a way to make it happen.
Cry me a river. Cry me a river, okay? The greatest player in that series, Kawhi Leonard, not playing. He's not walking back through that door. All right? Suck it up, Buttercup. How about that? But the Clippers are playing with free money. That's the point on this, right? The rest of this series, they're not supposed to win. They were buried. They already had the funeral. I think we're all sitting Shiva for the Clippers after that loss of Kawhi Leonard. So house money. You know who also? I think I texted a couple of people. I think I texted Coop. I said this is like a mob game. The Clippers went from a 2.5. The Jazz were a 2.5-point favorite when Kawhi was supposed to play, and by the time the game went and started, the Utah Jazz were 8.5-point favorites. And I look at the money; it was like 75%. Over 75% of the money, the public money, was on the Utah Jazz. Very reminiscent of that Milwaukee-Brooklyn game where everyone didn't think Harden was going to play, and it was just Durant, and everyone was betting on the Bucks. And, yeah, there's a reason those casinos make all the nice cash there. All right, we'll take your phone calls if you'd like to be part. I know it's a tough day for the trolls on this show. Very upsetting for you. Are you ready? Idiots like Charlie in San Antonio and Chris in Houston, those Nimrods, were all excited to call up and spit loogies in my face. Well, yeah, I can spit loogies in your face. 877-99 on Fox. We also have a Maller militia update. Now, we were scheduled, I say were as in the past tense, to have a verbal octagon later this hour. Something has changed. Something has changed as far as the verbal octagon. I'll explain what that is all about, and get out the buggy. Get out the buggy. We'll get to that as well, and we will do it next.
Na, 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 na. Hey, goodbye.
Yeah. See you, Jazz, for now.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We believe in the power of the people in the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow me, Eddie Garcia, your humble sidekick, the voice of reason. Coming up in the final hour, I'll have my hockey report. It's called Puck the World. It's worth listening to the entire show just to get to that in the final hour.
No. You just don't listen and then turn the radio back on the last hour.
Nah, they can listen to the whole show instead.
Oh, okay. We're supposed to tell them to listen to the whole show? Okay.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
All right.
And live in the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Yeah. I know you guys are upset. I actually was not going to come in. I was going to do it for the other studio, and then I wanted to see the look on your faces. Yeah, I did. I admit it. No lies. I was not scheduled to be here, but I had to come in.
So when the Clippers blow it, you won't be coming in?
No, I'll be here.
Okay.
You know,
I'll believe that when I see it.
When they blow it, how do you know they're going to blow it?
Well, because that's who they are.
I know, that's right. Because they've always done it. It's like the Cubs will never win the World Series. Red Sox will
never
win.
You said that one time. Yeah.
Yeah. And guess what they did?
They did.
Yeah. Chain Link writes in, says, I don't know who that is, A-plus monologue, Benny, was this the biggest win in Clipper franchise history until Friday, of course. It was the most improbable Clipper win when you consider the Jazz at home, top team in the NBA, blah, 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 blah. Maller Prop Guy writes in from Parts Unknown. He says, I heard one of your FSR colleagues share a clever take this evening that sounded like he was reading your mind regarding the two NBA games tonight. It went something like the winning team of one game made adjustments during the game. The other team was coached. Other game was coached by Doc Rivers. Yeah. Well, Philadelphia was so excited. They were like, "Hey, we got our guy. We got Doc Rivers." Remember they hired him? I was like, "Okay." I think I did a monologue on Doc, the full Doc Rivers experience. We'll get to that later. Lou writes in from SoCal. He says, I hope you had the Clippers plus 8. I would have loved to bet the morning line. Ty Lue must owe Pat Beverly money, he says. A couple of shots, but don't think he should be in a game when it's on the line. And Lou said, Shaq said it best at halftime. The Clippers will win. Utah can't keep hitting three-point shots the way they were. Yeah, Shaq did say that at halftime. Trucker Joe, who sabotaged the game show the other day. I'm still upset with you, Trucker Joe. You're still in my doghouse. I haven't forgiven you. Didn't know who John Stockton was. All-time assist god. Doesn't know who John Stockton. But you know, it's Greg Ostertag. What a liar. Anyway, Trucker Joe says, and to think during game one, if the Clippers could figure out who wanted to take the last shot and made it, they would have had the game. The series would have been over or already over? Already now. Well, you're playing the ifs and buts game. I don't do that. Big Rig Rob from the highways and byways of the Evergreen State says, Ben, Not sure how you get anything other than an A-plus grade tonight. You also are awarded with unlimited use of the I Told You So card. No, I don't play the I Told You So card. I don't do that. It'd be wrong to do that at all. You think they'll invite me back on the affiliate there in Salt Lake? You think that? No, probably not. He said, you correctly predicted the habitual playoff losing by Doc Rivers and the rise of Playoff P. Holy Schadenfreude. And F. Altuve, F. Altuve. Now, Jake. Yes, there it is.
Altuve! Altuve!
JT writes and says, if Doc Rivers was coaching the Clippers in Utah, they would have actually lost by 25 points. I gave Doc the benefit of the doubt. I did. He says, hey, Ben, let's talk about those Gigantes. That's from El Guapo, who for some reason does not have El Guapo in his Twitter handle, but wants to be known as El Guapo. It's a very, very odd decision there. Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan, writes in, says, A-plus Maller monologue. It's pretty obvious the Maller scale of panic was at about a 9.8 before the game, but you were pleasantly surprised by Paul George coming into play, who knows what happens next, but the Clippers clearly are going to fight. Well, I did not turn on the Maller scale of panic. I did not. So we have no idea what the Maller scale of panic was.
It was nowhere to be seen all day.
Robin, well, you know, I'm a busy guy. I get it. They don't pay me to be on. Let me tell you something. The way I look at social media, first of all, they don't pay me. They come in and pay me to be on there. I'm supposed to promote the show, and I go on there occasionally. They pay me to do the radio show. If they paid me to send out tweets about every thought I had, who the hell wants to hear every thought I have during the day? Nobody wants to hear that. I'm not that interesting. So they don't pay me to be on Twitter. I go on there to promote the show, and I have fun every once in a while with the nimrods and the algorithms and all that. But my life does not revolve around Twitter. And actually, years ago it did. But I had an intervention, which may or may not have had something to do with my wife, who pointed out that I way too much time on there. So I do not spend nearly as much time on the microblogging website as I used to. Robin Vegas says, fantastic monologue, man. I never doubted your Clippers. Who needs Kawhi when you've got Mr. Clutch Paul George? Now, the anticipation is killing me. This verbal lockdown is going to be epic. I believe Queen Roxanne is the prohibited favorite. What time will it happen? It'll happen, actually, in the 32nd day of the month. It's going to happen. How about that? Yeah, we actually have an update here. We'll give it to you on the other side because I am on time, Mather, by the clock, for the clock, plausibly all about the clock. But we were scheduled to have the verbal octagon in about 5 minutes. About 5 minutes, the cat fight of the ages. The thriller in the cat house, we were going to call it there. We had all big anticipation as Queen Roxanne versus America's favorite drag queen caller for Lexus. Well, something has changed.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In baseball, the better story is in the losing locker room,
right,
as the Giants
you.
Beat the Diamondbacks 13-7.
Finally, Eddie, you get the point.
Well, in this case, I definitely agree. San Francisco, best record in the National League, 43-25. Arizona, not so much. Worst record in all of Major League Baseball. But what we're talking about is the losing streak. 13 in a row overall, and now 22 straight losses on the road, which is tied a major league record.
Tied with the 1963 Mets. Was that Casey Stengel's Mets, 1963? And the 19...
You would know you were around back then. I don't know. I was.
Nah, I could check in with our friend Mike North. But 1943, the Philadelphia Athletics for the major league record. So
one more,
congratulations.
Arizona. One more, and it's all yours.
You got to lose another game, right? Ooh. You can't get this close. I remember when the Cavaliers they had tied the North American record for consecutive losses, and then they played the Clippers. That's when I wore the paper bag for the first time, Eddie. They played the Clippers, and they won. It's devastating. You get that close, you got to set the record. There's no excuse not to set the record.
I agree. Yeah. We have the White Sox beating the Rays 8-7 in 10 innings in a battle of division leaders. Also, the two teams with best records in the American League. Chicago now has the best record in all of baseball at 43-25. I'm sure Mike Harmon is very excited about that. Red Sox beat the Braves 10-8. Boston now just a game back of Tampa Bay for the AL East lead. The Mets beat the Cubs 6-3, and the Reds knock off the Brewers 2-1. Both Chicago and Milwaukee have dropped three straight. They're still tied, though, for the NL Central lead. And the A's, leaders of the AL West, won their sixth in a row, beating the Angels 8-4. A lot of news out of the NBA coming down on Wednesday, including a couple of coaches saying they're out of a job. Scott Brooks in Washington, he gone.
Yeah.
And after one marvelous season New Orleans, Stan Van Gundy out as head coach of the Pelicans.
Listen, I used to like Stan Van Gundy, but now he can spend more time as a and he goes on social media on these rants politically. He can do more of that. How about that? That really helped you out there, Stan Van Gundy. Keep going there, you wackadoodle.
I was unaware of that.
Yeah, he's a nut job, Stan Van Gundy. I thought he was cool but he's a nut. Hope he never coaches again. Let him get some crappy TV job. And Scott Brooks, I mean, he'll go somewhere else, right? He's a vagabond coach. He had a couple of jobs now. He's in the good old boys network, so he'll be hired somewhere. Some crappy, maybe get the Orlando job, some crap job somewhere.
I remember Scott Brooks when he was playing point guard at UC Irvine.
Billy Mulligan. I do also. But then I saw highlights.
I never know. Zut or Zot?
Zot, 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 yeah.
Somebody, that was always somebody big. Knows what we're talking about.
You know, somebody who grew up in the OC, and when the big bad UNLV runner Rebels, that was like the biggest game.
I know. It's a Fresno State guy, believe me. No, that was like the World Super Bowl champions coming to town.
Yeah,
or something.
It was like an NBA team coming to town, and they had a bunch of NBA players because they're all getting paid under the table by the great Tark the Shark. But yeah, that was a big deal. They beat them one time. That was with Scott Brooks. That was actually a couple times, a million years ago. Hot college basketball talk. What you need
back
is
in the PCAA. Wow, you remember that?
Yeah. Oh boy. I read about it. I don't remember it. I read about it. So it is the Ben Maller Show. I got to point out here, yet again, I called my shot on this one also. I got this one right. Not that I'm taking a bow here, but Koopa Loop said, hey, it's booked. It's the Verbal Octagon, Queen Roxanne versus Phalexis, America's favorite drag queen caller. We were going to do it right now at this time. Right now at this time, we were going to do it. And we had it all booked.
What happened?
I get a text from Coop a couple hours before the show. I'm sitting on my ass watching the Clipper game, and I get a text that Phalexis had made a decision, Eddie.
Yes?
Phalexis has not only decided not to do the Octagon, Phalexis has quit the show. Retired from the show.
What a loser.
Yeah. One of the longest tenured callers. And the funniest thing about it, all right, now my sources tell me, am I allowed to say this, Coop, why Phalexis is upset? Phalexis is upset because we didn't properly promote the Octagon.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes. Phalexis feels we did not give the Octagon the proper promotion it needed and therefore is quitting the show.
Good. Good riddance.
Like, Phalexis thinks it's like Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, or Floyd Mayweather, Oscar De La Hoya. Listen, we like Queen Roxanne. We like Phalexis. And I think I've done more to promote Phalexis. I put Phalexis on before it was cool to be a drag queen. I put Phalexis on. So, come on, Phalexis. Bad job by you. So, that's where we are, Eddie.
That is unbelievable, frankly.
Well, the good news is if Phalexis is quitting the show, we have a slot open on our payroll for a new drag queen caller. So, we need to find a new drag queen. I've had some other drag queens that have called the show before.
I hope Phalexis is quitting Twitter as well, please. For the love of God.
Yeah, Twitter's pretty bad. Or Phalexis is pretty bad at Twitter. Twitter's bad too, but Phalexis is bad at Twitter. So.
We have a transgender.
A transgender
allegedly,
Dave.
I
like that transgender Dave guy. My favorite caller from Houston is transgender Dave. I always get a kick out of transgender Dave when he calls up. Really good. And, Eddie, you can't question whether he's transgender Dave or not. You just have to accept it. If he says it, that's the way it is. That's how that works. Come on.
Racist. Yeah, right.
It's a bad job by you, Eddie. Shame on you. So So Queen Rock, just for the record, Queen Roxanne is now 2-0 in the octagon. Both times the opponent has not showed up. No show. It's of course the same opponent, but let's go to the phones and let's say hello to Charlie in San Antonio.
Homosexual.
Tough break for Charlie. What's going on, Charlie?
Well, my answer is that there's no way I cannot run it as a prepaid because I still have to authorize his card. Like, I still have to have his card authorizing.
I feel like we're spying on a conversation we're not supposed to be listening to. I feel like Charlie's at the front desk of a hotel in San Antonio.
Authorizing something.
Authorizing like a credit card, but he's not supposed to authorize the credit card. He's not allowed. That's not the right credit card. All right, we'll put him back on hold. It's better than the last time we went to a caller who wasn't paying attention. He was watching porn. That was on yesterday's show. Yes, you never know what you're going to get. Let's go to Regina. Spin Cycle Regina in the Twin Cities. Hello, Regina. Oh, come on. There she is. Oh, I was going to start screaming there, Regina, because I thought you weren't there. I was concerned that we were going to start with back-to-back duds, but we did not.
I'm sorry. My phone service is still acting up.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to tell you, hey, I'm so happy that I can take the bag off of my head today because our twins actually won, and my torta, my little tortuga, actually had two back-to-back walks. It's first time in his career.
Well, and congratulations. Get a cupcake and celebrate. Big, giant cupcake. Yeah.
Well, I made brownies. Do you want to come over for brownies and ice cream?
Ooh, brownies and ice cream. Now, that sounds like a fun night there. All right. Yeah. What kind of ice cream we got?
Ooh, pecan caramel drizzle.
Oh, is that right? I'm a traditionalist with ice cream. I'll go cookies, cookie dough, cookies and cream, chocolate chip, mint chip. Those are usually my go-to. Occasionally strawberry if I'm feeling exotic. Yeah, a little bit. But
Ben, have you ever had
a little bit of a turtle fan? So I go with the turtle ice cream.
Yeah, I understand, Coop. Yes, Coop.
Ben, have you ever had a Tillamook ice cream?
The brand?
Yes.
I believe I have, yes. It's in a, I think that sounds familiar.
They make cheese.
They make great cheese.
Yeah, but then I know I discovered their ice cream, and it's fantastic.
It's pretty good, yeah.
It's to die for?
Yes.
Yeah. What makes it so good?
It's super creamy, and they have nice unique flavors.
Mm. Do they have like a weed flavor or something? Is that why you like it? Do they have like another one?
No. But they've got
Turkey Hill's pretty good too.
What? Turkey Hill?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
I've never even heard of that one.
It's good. Yeah. I was gonna have a fat ass like me.
Marion Berry Pie. That's the flavor I'm thinking of.
A little crack in there? Yeah.
What?
Well, Marion Barry, right? Isn't that the guy, the mayor of D.C. that was smoking crack on camera? Right? That was Marion Barry. Yeah, that's why they... Come on. That's so long ago, Eddie. That people forgotten, Eddie.
I guess so. He got reelected, though, after
that. Yeah, he did.
How about that?
And then he had the balls. I think he went on Opie and Anthony back when that show was around, or Stern, and said he didn't actually smoke crack. That it wasn't... It just looked like crack. Yeah.
Right. and it, you know, smelled like crack, and it got me high.
What kind of brownies are those, Regina? Are those Coop's brownies or are those normal brownies? What are we looking at?
Of course they're Mary Jane brownies.
I understand. Yeah.
Coop doesn't like those, he said.
Just, well, when the Clippers win the championship, I think I have to eat a weed brownie or something like that. I think that's the deal.
Yeah, you
when
have to
win the
about
championship.
That.
Oh, I'm very concerned. Very concerned. All right. Well, it sounds like the party has started there, Regina. A little late night fun. So thank you. All right. There you go. Bye-bye. All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. On Fox. So get the buggy. Fun story here. So Nikola Jokic wins the MVP award. The Nuggets get poleaxed, and he heads back home, back to his homeland in Serbia, just a couple days after Denver took it on the chin in the postseason. And he goes back to his hometown now. There's a photo of Nikola Jokic living his best life. He was spotted back in Serbia there. Somebody took a picture of him, and he was being ridden around by a horse. It's when you think of a buggy, like I think of a buggy as like the things at Central Park, you know. But it was not really that. It was more like a how would I describe this? It looks to me like if you made your own kind of cheap ripoff version of buggy, and you just put a couple of tires from a bicycle on there, and it was pretty good. So that's like a 13-hour flight or something like that. Travel from Denver back to his town in Serbia and having a great time. I just love the fact he can be like this huge Mega Million star, and you go back to Serbia and you're getting pushed around by a horse. I just love it. Not that they don't have cars in Serbia, because they do. Anyway, well, the MLB pick'em. Here's the Who Am I game. Julio Urias becoming the second pitcher in Dodgers history to record at least one RBI in five straight games. Now, Don Drysdale was in his first season, or in their first season in L.A., did it. I was the last pitcher prior to Urias with any team to have an RBI in five straight games. Who am I? The answer, next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Nothing good happens after midnight unless you listen to the Ben Maller Show. Join the fastest growing club on Fox Sports Radio. You can follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And on Instagram, go to at Ben Maller on Fox. And you can add your touch to weekly show bits like Ask Ben coming up in hour number 3, Lame Jokes coming up tomorrow, and more. Or maybe not tomorrow. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Last minute change. We're going to improv here. We'll do the PGA Putt'em. We were going to do baseball, but we'll do the PGA Putt'em. Majors, four times a year, we're allowed to do the Putt'em. J. Dot in Utah writes in and says, did you go to Chuckles the Clown University? I went to Saddleback College. Your monologue had the pulse of Doink the Clown. J. Dot, diehard Utah Jazz apologist, says, this series is not over by a long shot, Freddie. Mike Conley is walking through that door, taking game 6. I'll see you and Clipper Daryl in Utah for game 7 to send you guys back to L.A. Yeah. Good luck on that. Mike Conley's going to play just like James Harden did to save the Nets. Hey, Donovan Mitchell sounded like a defeated player to me. That post-game soundbite, that sounded like a player that had raised the white flag. It's over. Even the burner account says, number one seed, my ass, mama mentality, my ass. Ben, the media and the toe suckers build these guys up to be gods, but they're really frauds. Somewhere Shaq is smiling. Vomit comet writers. All right, here's the Who Am I game again. Julio Urias becoming the second Dodger pitcher in history to have at least one RBI in five straight games. Did that the other night. Don Drysdale, the first to do it. I was the last pitcher prior to Urias with any team to have five consecutive games as a pitcher with a run batted in. Who am I? That is the question. What is the answer with the PGA Putt'em on tap? And who do we have here? Alfie Alien Opiner says Marion Barry smoking Turkey Hill ice cream is the correct answer. Mr. Nice Guy, can't read that name. Who else do we have? Zach Greinke from Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan. Wandy Rodriguez from Jason in Denver. Julio Iglesias from the Real Martin at the airport in Denver. Christopher's going with Fernando Valenzuela as his selection. Ryan Bershinger from Emmett, the blind Seahawk fan, who continues to keep trying Ryan. LaTroy Hawkins, late-night drug tester. Ron Gator Guidry from the Midnight Walker. Charles Kiss My Grits Barkley. Eddie, do you have an answer? It's not you, Darvish, which was guessed by Jason in Rocky Mount, Virginia.
Yeah, let's go with former Rangers pitcher Danny Darwin.
Danny Darwin, good name, pretty good pitcher. Incorrect, the correct answer from the Chicago Cubs of the 2000s. Carlos Zambrano. Carlos Zambrano.
He was a hothead.
Yeah, he was. All right, let's get to it. Hurry up. We don't have a lot of time. We can't talk slow. We got to talk fast.
This is
PGA Putt'em. Who's going first here?
Take your time, everybody.
Coop. Go ahead, Coop.
I'm going first, and I will go with, I don't know, John Rahm.
All right. Shocking that you would pick him.
I don't know John Rahm.
Roberto.
Bryson DeChambeau.
All right. The board has held. Eddie.
Let's go Brooks Koepka.
Okay, give me Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy. And over to you, Eddie.
Let's go with the always wonderfully named Xander Schauffele.
All right, you got him. Roberto.
Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth has been picked. Oh, all right, go ahead, Coop. The back-to-back, Coop. Hurry up!
Tony Finau.
Hurry up!
And Christian Bezenduhout.
Oh, he's going to win.
Yeah. Roberto.
Colin Morikawa.
All right, Morikawa. Go ahead, Eddie.
Justin Thomas.
Hideki Matsuyama.
Matsui.
For the win!
The baseball
to
player.
To the house!
The baseball player?
International flavor. Come on, Roberto.